This is Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Back to your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hart.
And we really appreciate you joining us today. We are live today, ladies and gentlemen, live around the world. It's hard to believe that we've come this far in our careers, that now we are live around the world.
It's hard to believe we're live.
It's hard to believe we're alive, period.
Right, right.
All right, but we are, and we appreciate you listening to the program and sending in those nasty notes.
Right.
Anyhow, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, when we take questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
Did that even make no sound to you opening the bottle? Anyway, it's time for questions, and my my colleague, Mr. James, has James M. Hartman, Esquire, has put on his judge's robes. I don't know if it's a combination of judge's robes or it's actually a toga from a fraternity party that he went to when he was a kid. All right, are you ready for
yes,
your first question?
I am.
All right, move the toga. Get that tassel. Watch the tassel. Watch
the tassel is right. Oh, whoop.
Again, right in your lips. Oh,
okay,
God.
Let's go.
Send that tassel out to be cleaned.
I got it out.
All right, number one question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just have that done intravenously and you won't have to sip it? Derek from Greenville, North Carolina writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what type of attorney do I need to represent me in an insurance claim? My home burned to the ground? And the insurance company's giving me a difficult time trying to settle this claim.
Okay, this is what we call a first-party claim. It's your insurance company.
That's what happened. I was throwing a party and the place burned down.
As opposed to where you're suing another guy and his insurance company.
Right, okay. What should he do?
And I don't know if you need a lawyer right off. I would, frankly, and this, a lot of lawyers are disagreeing, but we have public adjusters. There are public adjusters who, that's their business. They represent people in the in insurance claims, particularly these claims for fire losses or flood losses or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they negotiate with insurance companies, and most of them are pretty familiar with the insurance companies, and the companies know who they are, and they are able to negotiate a claim. They come and they assess what the damage is done and so forth. So I would suggest that you look for a public adjuster.
You have to pay them, don't you?
Well, they take a percentage.
Oh, they take a percentage?
Yes.
Which is probably less than what the lawyer will take.
Well, probably. And they work on a percentage, and try that first. If that is unsuccessful, then I would go to a lawyer who does litigation and knows how to handle lawsuits.
Okay. In the meantime, he's got to do this quickly because he's living in a parking lot.
Well,
thanks, Derek. We wish you a lot of luck, and we're sorry your house burned down. That happened to Armin once. Anyway, the town came in and said, thank God that building's down.
Right.
All right, number two. Bill from Tucson, Arizona writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the fastest way to dissolve a family business? My brother and sister are my partners.
Shoot before they shoot you.
Oh,
that's the way you go with family businesses. Shoot them. Now, the way you dissolve a family business is you go into business with a family member because it'll last about 30 minutes and you'll have your first fight and then you get dissolved. The easiest way to dissolve them, if you're sort of reticent about shooting them, is to go to see a lawyer, and you can be dissolved. Depending on the state you're in, the rules concerning partnership dissolution may vary from state to state. And very frankly, Bill, I don't know what the rules are in Tucson, Arizona, but I'm sure they're very much like they are universally. There are ways and procedures that can be utilized to dissolve the partnership.
Okay.
In other words, there's an extrajudicial way. That would be if you agree. Or you can dissolve it. If you can't, you go to court, and they will dissolve it for you.
And we were kidding about the first technique. Just in case.
You were kidding.
Yeah.
You were kidding.
I was kidding. Matt from Washington, D.C.,
right,
the capital of our country, the new home of our brand-new president.
It's not a new home. It's been there a long time.
Well, it's new to him.
Right.
Okay. In fact, he's taking his mother-in-law with him, the poor guy. Finally gets
Let's
a place.
Let's go back to the dissolution of the
family partnership.
Partnership, because now Michelle you might have a dissolution of the marriage.
Boy.
If it brings mom along.
Well, I got to tell you. Well, she's been a very good babysitter, I guess. She's been with those kids. And that's, you know what, that's better than having a stranger babysit them, is to have your grandmother there. We grew up with it. My grandmother lived with us. So I recommend it. Give her own room. In fact, give her own apartment. Give her whatever she needs. Okay. Matt from Washington, D.C. writes.
Yes.
Dear Jim and Randall.
Yes.
Can a defense attorney effectively represent a person if he or she believes that the person may be lying?
Well, that's a good question. My own opinion, I think you should get out of the case.
If you know
that he's lying.
Right.
Or if you feel so deeply that he or she is lying that you can't, you know, you feel
represent
doubtful
him.
About representing him. You can't represent a client tongue in cheek. You must be serious. You must believe in your case. So that would be my opinion. Now, I'm only one of, when it comes to lawyers, one of millions. But you must understand, every defendant is entitled to a defense. And I might think he's lying, but I have no right to determine his guilt or innocence. That's the business of the trier of facts.
That's
jury.
Right. Okay. Well,
I hope I've been able to answer your question.
Yes, you have. Now let me give a caveat to what you just said.
What?
If this person has a lot of money and can pay the fee.
What about the fee?
Then you might be obliged to turn your eye in a different direction and just happen to forget that he is guilty.
What you do is... You turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek.
That's right.
And open your wallet.
That's
okay. By the way, I just got a news flash from our offices in Chicago that Dick Cheney is available to babysit. Cheney is available.
That's if you want to get rid of the kid.
That's
okay.
Right. All right. Hey, this is your buddy Alonzo from New York City. He wrote us a message. Alonzo says, "Dear Jim and Randall, how far can a municipality encroach on my property?"
All the way if they pay you.
Uh-huh.
The Constitution provides that the government, you know, cannot take property. That's think of the amendment in a minute. For some reason I can't.
That's amazing for you because you have them.
Which is the fact that you cannot take property and you can take it for a public use, but you must pay just compensation.
Right.
And so they can take your property. First, there are two questions involved. Number one, is it a public use? And the Kelo against the city of New Haven case.
That's right. They took
expanded
that
the public use to mean a public purpose. Well, that wasn't the first one to use a public purpose, but went a little wild on that. But the more important question is whether, what's the value when they take
right,
it?
Right, right, right.
It's tough to prove it's not a public use. And the cards are stacked in favor of the municipality. So the thing you have to do is to get an appraiser, and he determines what the amount is that you'll be fairly paid. Then the state or the taking authority, they come in with their appraiser. And you know what appraisers are. They're
right. They're trying
paid
to make a
liars.
Good guess.
They're paid hired guns. And what an expert is a fellow from out of town who did it once.
Right.
So that's what you're up against.
Now, here's the problem, though. Alonzo has a much bigger problem than this.
What?
Because his property consists of a hot dog stand on the corner of 52nd Street and 3rd Avenue.
Well, you know, what it costs for an acre in Montana, it costs for a square inch in
New York City.
So
all right, Alonzo. Right. If I were you, I wouldn't worry about it. Just move to a different corner. Dell.
Well,
can I go to the next question? Yeah,
can.
He appreciates it.
Right.
Yeah, and keep those hot dogs coming, Alonzo.
See, because the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
I was going to guess the Fifth.
Says that private property, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. We've now given you a quote from the United States Constitution that James carries with him wherever he goes. In fact, the other night, he turned a flashlight on the movie theater to read the Seventh Amendment. And the who's the guy that helps you out in the movies? What's the guy called? It goes up and down the aisle.
The usher.
The usher insisted that he read it in the men's room. And he said, that's where I spend most of my time reading in the men's room. I'm watching a movie. Anyway, it was a very interesting problem. But he carries that pocket constitution with him wherever he goes. Anyway, when he's walking, people go, morning constitution. He goes, yeah, I happen to have it right here. Yes, I do. Del from Minneapolis writes, you can go home anytime you want. Dear Jim and Randall, what is the difference between murder and manslaughter? Not much.
I can say it in one word.
Go ahead.
Well, the difference of the victim is irrelevant. He's dead.
He's dead.
He died. But for the defendant, the perpetrator, the difference is intent.
Right.
If you have murder, of course, is intent to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Manslaughter isn't first degree. Now, remember, this varies from state to state.
Right.
There are 50 states. They all differ. But basically, let me give you what I think, and at least my state is like this. Involuntary manslaughter is where you don't intend to commit a crime and someone's killed. Voluntary manslaughter is where you commit a crime and someone is killed.
Okay.
You don't intend to kill a person, but they die. You do intend to commit a crime.
So you're robbing a bank and you come out and you run a guy over trying to escape. What would that be?
Involuntary.
Involuntary?
Right there, yeah.
Oh, 'cause you didn't run him over.
But let's assume that, but murder, and there are several kinds, hot blood murder, what we call
passion.
In our state, first degree murder probably doesn't exist. You got to kill a cop. But second degree murder is what we used to call first degree murder, and that's premeditated murder. You think about it and you kill someone.
Plan it.
Then there's third degree murder, which is murder which was not planned, hot blood murder, murder out of passion. But those are the differences. Basically, think in terms of the word intent, and I think that will be helpful to you in your diagnosis of this.
All right.
Okay?
There you go.
That's the best I can help you with.
That
right
was actually quite good.
It was good.
Yeah. For...
I thought it was good because I'm a good person.
You are, and you're always trying. You're trying
try
to
help. I
try to
do the best I can.
I know. Now.
All the time I try to do the best.
I know. You calm
I
down.
Try.
Have another drink. I think...
I try all the time. And I try.
All right, clean yourself up. Pull yourself together.
I will.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Okay. It's because you know
I'm
why
never
it's.
Ready. I'm ready for what?
You're
I'm ready.
Ready
for
Be
Freddy.
Ready because it's time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to several Boeing employees who decided to steal a life raft from one of the 747s. Now, they were successful in getting it out of the plane and home.
Our information has it that shortly after they took it for a float on the river, they noticed a Coast Guard helicopter coming toward them. It turned out that the chopper was homing in on the emergency locator beacon that activated when the raft was inflated. They are no longer employed at Boeing.
Where do they get these ideas?
Don't you know these
hey,
things?
Hey, what are we doing for? Hey, I want to go fishing. Let's grab a raft off of the 747.
That's right.
They won't miss it. This plane doesn't fly over water. Jeez. Anyway, folks, don't steal a raft from the airplane. My goodness, just go down to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a little canoe, and you can flip that in no time. Anyway, it's time to introduce our crack staff. First, our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
Our meteorologist, Gail Force.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
And our studio engineer, rollicking Randy Meyer.
Our producer and the president of the entire corporation, who works each week to help our show be a success. And this is what he says. Confound it all. Chris, confound it all, Whitty.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Miss Laverne Lazzarino.
Our legal historian. And advisor, Sir Edward Faversham III.
Is he from England?
No, he's from Brownsville, Brooklyn.
I don't even know who these people are. Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Beachbuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Guts.
Our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille O'Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario, just in a time.
Every week he gets us to the studio, just in a time. Well, folks, you've survived another hour, and I guess you had nothing else to do. But we certainly appreciate you listening to the program. We want you to have a great week. Always be kind to your neighbor. And no matter what happens, Don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.